Joining us now on the Harbor One hotline of WEEI.com is our friend Andy Hart. He's presented by McFarland Energy. If you need dependable home oil delivery or HVAC work in Greater Boston, the North Shore, or the Cape, please visit McFarlandEnergy.com. Andy Hart on the Harbor One hotline. Hart, good afternoon.
What the heck happened? I don't get an open anymore?
Did you ever have one?
What was my Heartless song?
Changed up one time.
You're blaming it all on Nick. Nick's not doing his job, right? Poor
I'm
Nick.
A creature of habit. I'm a creature of habit.
Here's the thing with that song. I don't remember. I don't even remember it. I don't remember us ever having to play that song. I don't even know what it sounds like.
Screw you.
Do you want a different song? I can give you a different song. You want a No Easy Way Out song? You want a Rocky song? I can play that.
I want something that says heart in it. I'm a heart. See, the hole was play up. There it is.
Oh.
Whether it's Fourier seeing himself in the mirror or Hart needing his open, good Lord. What are we, an NBA team now all of a sudden? Wow, I got to have it my way.
Well, no, because the football season's not all that entertaining. We have to entertain ourselves, and that's what we're doing.
Well, let's start with this. Now what for the Patriots, Andy Hart, that the trade deadline has come and passed?
Now you have a strange second half of the season, and we recorded our Six Rings podcast yesterday, and your friend and mine, Nick Fitzy Stevens, asked me, like, what to look forward to over the second half of the season, and I said, you're not going to want to hear this, but the best-case scenario is you win as few games as possible. I firmly believe that. You guys know my slogan. We're not tanking. We just suck. And I think every game is going to be in question the rest of the year. And the more you lose, the better it is for the best interests of the football team long term. You didn't tear it down. You didn't do anything disrespectful to the game and the profession and your players. But the reality is you're one of the least talented teams in football. You continue to have injuries that take away now your best offensive player and your two best defensive players. And I actually think, and maybe you can set me straight on this, Gresh, you guys deal with a lot of people, but based on the people I cross paths with, I think there is an acceptance in the fan base that picking in the top five of the draft next year is probably the best thing for this organization.
Well, I mean, I know you're kind of couching it with the whole, well, we're not taking, we just suck, and we'll get there by natural causes.
When they take the tackle from Notre Dame, I can't wait. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
It's funny, so just quickly, because we had a long and loud argument over this to start the show, and, you know, with the news of Josh McDaniels being fired, the topic of rosters came up. I just want to ask you, if you can do an even swap, the Raiders roster as is with the Patriots roster as is, which one would you take? Would you trade? Would you make a trade? You would easily, right? It's not even close.
The Raiders, by a mile, they have a top five receiver, a top five pass rusher, a running back that's in, I know his production's in a weird world, but a year ago was one of the best running backs in football. The quarterback who sucked the other night, I think, is better than yours. He's certainly more accomplished, although certainly is also brittle. Yeah, give me Jacoby Myers. Absolutely, give me the Raiders roster. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's close. So there, Gresh is wrong. Just say out loud, I'm wrong.
How can they have all that offensive talent and not win? My God, how does that happen, guys?
Well, they've beaten you twice in the last year, so they do win some games. And I would also argue, I mean, they believe it's coaching. They believe that whatever is going on with Josh, and Josh has always had his detractors going back to Denver and his stops everywhere. He's the most hated man in the history of Denver sports. I think Josh is a prover of the Peter principle, and I love Josh. I have a great relationship with him, but I think he ascended to the position upon which he fails. He's a good coordinator. He's just not maybe a head coach. But the reality is they just decided the head coach was the problem. The leadership was the problem. And they have, I was listening very intently to the trending with my buddy Billy Lenny, and I believe he said Josh McDaniels has 9 wins for Las Vegas over the last season and a half. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, the Patriots have 10 wins in that same span. So, I mean, they're both bad football teams with bad coaching right now, could be an argument.
Well, it's funny because even with that, yesterday we were talking about that those are the way Josh is going. you know, after that Detroit loss, like that's a those are grounds for being fired if you're a Raider guy. And sure enough, the very next morning, late at night, he gets fired. I just wonder what that means for him. And do you think there's a possibility he returns to New England and is somehow on the staff by next week?
I mean, that is certainly the way they've always done business, but I'm not sure now things are the same. I'm not sure that's fair to Bill O'Brien. I'm not sure that's fair to Mac. That's like, you know, the stepmom is in the house and then the real mom comes back and she moves back in and the kids are like, who the hell do I listen to? Who is like running this operation around here? And I don't know if Josh would want to. He's also got a very nice contract. He can sit back and collect for at least a little while as he collects his thoughts and maybe doesn't want to jump right back into it. And if you're talking about the Crafts, and if we believe Burt Breer, they've already had discussions about long-term decisions and Robert Kraft and what you need to do with Bill Belichick. Josh McDaniel only muddies that water, I feel like. You know, this whole debate, if they do something at the end of the year, would they be looking to blow it up and get away from all things Belichick? If so, why are you bringing Josh in for the second half of the season? I don't actually think it makes sense for either side. I think it would make for an awkward situation in New England. And if I'm Josh McDaniels and his wife, I just want to collect my money and decompress and figure out where I'm going next year.
So, Hart, if you're Bill Belichick, you're coaching the next 9 weeks with the intent of getting what objectives done. If you're Bill, how are you approaching the final 9 weeks?
Well, if I'm Bill and I take him at his word and I take him at the word of his fobs, the Lombardis and all the other friends of Belichick, that, you know, he takes it one game at a time and he tries to win that game. And I'll take that as the accepted reality for Bill Belichick. I think he's trying to figure out what he's got, because there are some very important free agents to decide on. Do I want Kyle Duggar back? Is Josh Uche worth investing in? Mike Onwenu? And also some questionable players like Tyquan Thornton. Is he a guy that still has any value to me? So I think there are some young, Jack Jones. What's Jack Jones? Is Jack Jones a surefire number two? Am I going to have two of the best young corners in football in a couple of years? Is Jack Jones more trouble than he's worth? I think you're culling through a lot of your talent and making short and long-term decisions. Who deserves the reps this week against the Commanders and moving forward? But also, who am I? Because I'm assuming for now, anyway, he's planning on sticking around, even though I think that's hard to envision at this point. I think it's that classic example of you're playing guys to find out who they are and what your team is, because as Matthew Slater said the other night, you're going to find out about the character of your team, but you're also going to find out about the character of each individual player and what he brings, not only in terms of talent and ability, but what he brings in terms of buy-in. And when when the going gets tough, does the tough get going, or does he just start planning January vacation? So I think that's the way you have to approach it, is you're playing to win the game, but you're also playing to scout your own talent.
Yeah, so we're talking to Andy Hart, and I tweeted this out earlier this morning. Most games with 21 or fewer points this season. The Raiders with 8, that's Josh McDaniel. He's gone. The Giants with 7, and that's Brian Daboll, part of the Patriot family. Who knows what's going to happen with him? And then Bill O'Brien at 7. It is amazing to me, like, how bad all these coaches are when they leave, and I feel like for Josh, he needs to go back to the Nick Saban Rehabilitation Center for a year. And maybe that's really what he should do, right? Like, just go find your love of the game again with Nick Saban and, you know, have some victories again, because nobody's any good when they leave.
Oh, you mean the college version of Belichick manipulating the contract and someone getting paid by someone else and then go down there and be an analyst?
He'll be in the booth this weekend when Alabama takes on LSU. He'll be up in the booth somehow breaking down something.
The first thing I thought of for Josh is I would go to the college game. I would try my hand at the college game. He's a relatively young, good-looking, affable guy. I just wonder, could he pull off the recruiting trail? Could he? And, you know, being a young whiz kid still to some degree, tied to Tom Brady to some degree, could you pull off the college recruiting offensive guy shtick? Because it hasn't worked in the NFL. But The thing you just brought up about the three offenses, Patriots, Giants, Raiders, it's a long conversation. I actually just recorded a podcast for Six Rings with Phil Perry that we talked about. Is it coincidence? Is it a dated scheme, mentality, world that they live in? Is it just they don't have quarterbacks? And when you don't have quarterbacks, and maybe they don't value quarterbacks enough, and they fell into a trap of good enough Daniel Jones will be good enough, good enough Jimmy Garoppolo will be good enough Mac Jones will be good enough. Do they not value the position from the Patriot world where we still had that quote years and years ago that Bill thinks they can win with the 15th best quarterback? There's some coincidence, I think, in there. There's some bad offensive line play, I think, in there. But then on another level, I do say, and I don't know how you guys would react to this, if Mike McDaniel went to the Raiders right now, would the Raiders be a better offense than they are with Josh McDaniels? I believe they would be. I believe he would find a way to get Jacoby Myers, Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, to get more out of them. And that might say something about where these Patriots guys' roots lie.
Yeah, I think you got something there.
Well, it's a little bit of a mind F because one would argue that San Francisco is a legitimate Super Bowl contender, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do they value the quarterback spot? I mean, they waste three first-round.
They traded three first-round picks.
Right, but to the other spectrum of it, Andy, they replaced him with Mr. Irrelevant. So when
right,
you look
not
at
out of choice. No. Whoa. Not out of choice. They moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo because they didn't think their quarterback was good enough. They sent three first-round picks. You can't put much more value in the position. They just screwed the pooch and then got fortunate that they had a fall-into-place Mr. Irrelevant who did the job.
And I
still think they value it.
But if they – I think they value that guy maybe for what he is, but they don't value the position the way everybody else does. They're almost the invert. Hey, if we're great everywhere else, all we need is a guy in here to just come in and not pee on the rug. And that's the way they built their whole roster.
Then why'd they trade three first-round picks for Trey Lance? Why'd they move on? Actually, for any quarterback. They didn't trade for Trey Lance. They traded up for an elite quarterback.
Yeah, they did the blind draw. Any of these guys. And then they went and screwed it up. But the point is that, they went after it one time. They didn't do it again. They changed the philosophy, and it was like, this guy's good enough. And look at their backup situation. I don't think people on the East Coast could name the backup on the Niners. It's Sam Darnold.
But I was going to say Sam Darnold.
Right, but you have to look it up to see what they've done at that spot because they're the antithesis of the we're going to make it all about the quarterback.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think they got lucky. I think they fell in crap and came up smelling roses with Purdy because I think they were still investing in Trey Lance until Purdy came along. They didn't know what to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they've bungled the quarterback situation worse than the Patriots have. You know, a lot of people think the Patriots, what the hell are you doing? The 49ers have bungled the quarterback situation. The difference is they have a top five roster. And we've talked about this, Gresh. I think there's two ways to win in the NFL consistently. Have a top five quarterback who legitimately is top five, a Burrow, a Mahomes, or have a top five roster. And the 49ers have proven if you have a top five roster, the quarterback, you have a little more leeway with finding a guy to do the job.
Look at it this way. The team up the road or down the road for L.A., Christian? Down the road from San Francisco?
They are down the road from San Francisco.
The team down the road drafted a guy number one that took them to a Super Bowl, and they still went out and went and got Matt Stafford. So, that's a team that would have been of similar ilk with San Francisco. Whereas even though they had a guy that took them there, they still went and said, no, we need more quarterback. Whereas the other team kind of went the other way. That's the overall point. You could take those two California teams and look at the way they valued that quarterback spot. It was aggressive, and then they got more aggressive, and it was really aggressive, and then they kind of backed off a little bit, and they realized that, maybe to them it isn't that important.
No, they did the same thing. They just went for a rookie instead of a veteran. They had Jimmy Garoppolo, who took him to a Super Bowl, who was one throw away from winning the Super Bowl. And Shanahan decided, I hate this guy. He's brittle. He can't win. He can't get me over the top. He'll lose to the Packers, whatever. And they just decided to do it the rookie way instead of the veteran way. But they still had a quarterback that took him to a Super Bowl and moved on from him.
Yeah, I just think that it's not everyone is the same in the NFL. And that's the hard part, is that we look at a team that is successful. Go get Mahomes. Well, there aren't a lot of those guys roaming around.
So obviously
but if you have a quarterback, you're on second base. You're like the extra innings in Major League Baseball. If you have a quarterback, you have a runner in scoring position with no outs. And that's what we've seen from the Bengals, the Bills, the Chiefs. Now I think people are starting to say maybe Trevor Lawrence is going to be that in Jacksonville. You know, there's some of these teams that, yeah, we can start 0-3. Cincinnati was 0-3, right? Well, we might be okay. Let's relax. Like, we have our Aaron Rodgers, and a couple weeks later you're saying, okay, we're back in this. And it's not the be-all, end-all. That's why I go with the roster versus quarterback thing.
Well,
the quarterback's hard to find.
Well, because I was gonna counter with Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, and Matt Stafford before he left Detroit as the counter of, well, those teams were on second base and went backwards.
Yeah, the Watson thing I think you throw out because
that's Billy O.
The weirdest situation in history. But I'm talking about the totality and where, like, I don't know what Watson is, was, will be. That's a 30 for 30 to be done at some point with that guy. Now, Kirk Cousins, I would argue Kirk Cousins is the example of Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever you want to call it. He's not a franchise quarterback. I'm talking about real franchise quarterbacks, not the fake-ass one.
Hey,
the real franchise quarterback.
You know what? I just thought of this, Hart. I want to hit you with this quarterback question because I said it to Fourier yesterday, and it sparked some thought at least. If you're Bill Belichick, there is the whole Brady versus Belichick, right? Who did whatever. Mm-hmm. And if Bill builds another organization and wins with a guy that he's drafted, that's one thing. But what would it be kind of a notch on the career bedpost of Bill Belichick to take a guy like a Kirk Cousins, find a way to make him a little bit better, and that guy helps you get to a Super Bowl? Does Bill get credit for taking a guy like that and taking him off the scrap heap, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we got a time frame here. Like, Bill ain't getting any younger.
He's
72 this spring. Like, that's part of the interesting time frame. It would be part of the time frame if they, you know, had a top two pick and took Drake May. Like, how long does he have to get a rookie up to speed, and what's this process going to be like? But yeah, I mean, there's different ways for Bill to buff up the late career resume. I know people have talked about if he leaves New England and goes to Dallas or the Chargers and wins with Dak or wins with Herbert and, like, gets over the top with them, that's a certain buff up. But yeah, if he could get one of these middling quarterbacks and get them to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, sure. I don't think people would say, oh, you had Kirk Cousins. No, Kirk Cousins is the middle of the road quarterback. You get to the Super Bowl with him and turn around with him, then you deserve plenty of credit.
Interesting. Andy Hart at WEEI.com. Check him out on the Six Rings podcast, the Breaking Boston podcast, the Six Rings postgame show, and occasional columns at WEEI.com. And, of course, every once in a while with Keith at night. Hart, thank you, friend. We'll catch you next Wednesday.
See you, guys.